Hello, fellow fantasy baseball nuts, and a big warm welcome to episode number 3 of the fantasy add-on of the Johnny and Josh Show. Great pleasure to welcome back my very dear friend, James Holden. And Jimbo, I'm looking at the screen, and for the sake of our listeners, you seem to be under a duvet. So are we having a late lie-in, or are you trying to improve your sound quality?
I am indeed. I'm working on the sound quality. I am on holiday on the South Coast. And yes, I'm here under a Rapunzel duvet cover in my in-laws' holiday bungalow, having a wonderful time on the beach with an awful lot of girls who have absolutely zero interest in fantasy baseball.
And I'm assuming these girls are probably girlfriends and daughters rather than just girls.
Sadly, yes.
Okay. Well, I really appreciate you taking time out from your holiday, a well-earned holiday. By comparison, I've been on a six-month holiday, as we both know, and it's certainly been a very busy week of golf and cricket. So I'm in a very good place at the moment, but my teams are not, and I need your help. And the first thing
it's an everyday peril, isn't it? Trying to manage between having a social life and having a winning fantasy baseball team.
Well, you've said it to me before, and I think if you want to take fantasy baseball seriously in terms of actually being successful, you do have to be looking at it every single day, and you do have to be managing your team on a regular basis. And I tend to take a few days out and then realize I've missed a great start. And anyway, that's my story. That's my woe. That's been a 15-year boring, repetitive story. So let's focus on positive stories. Let's talk about trades, because this is a key aspect, obviously, of fantasy baseball. I'm useless at doing trades. No one seems to do a decent trade with me. I end up giving away massive amounts of value and get nothing in return. But the interest for me is that, obviously, with this abbreviated season, in normal, proper baseball, doesn't seem to be a great deal of trading going on. And that seems to be translated into fantasy baseball as well.
Yeah, I think it's a really, as you say, trading can be one of the most fun things to re-energize your season, to engage in some chat with some other teammates. It's outside of the draft, probably the thing that keeps it most fun. But this year, really, I mean, at the moment, only the Pirates, the Red Sox, and possibly the Mariners, you know, are definite sellers. With 16 real-life baseball teams going into the playoffs, almost everybody at the moment still thinks they've got a chance. That is going to lead to, you know, potentially less trades at the moment. And fantasy-wise, yeah, again, it's still so early, and yet we're, you know, gone a quarter of the way through the season for most teams, and some teams heading towards a third of the season. So it's really difficult. You've only had, you know, 5 games from the Cardinals to have a look at how their teams are doing and how their players are doing, and only 20 games from other players. But yeah, you need to be moving. If you're going to make a trade, you're going to need to make one soon. So I would expect less this year, yes.
Okay, so if you are in the mood for a trade and there's somebody out there who's perhaps like me already lost the season and getting bored and just wants to do something for the sake of the fun, who do we target?
I think in a season as short as this, you have to, what I would call, buy high. So often, you know, 2 or 3 weeks into the season, even 2 months into the season, you would still be looking for a player who had underperformed either his stats or underperformed his norm, and you were hoping the second half of the season would really be heating up. This year, you don't have that. So I would be looking, you know, if somebody like, for example, Yu Darvish is a great starter who, you know, we discussed at the beginning of the season, he wasn't a top 10 starter. Currently, he's performing like a top starter. I think in the Central League, I don't think he has as hard a schedule as some other teams. He's really pitching well, and I can't see any reason why he's likely to fall off a cliff in the next 6 weeks. So I'd be trying to buy high on say somebody like that, rather than going for a stone cold hitter and waiting another 2 weeks for him to warm up. You simply don't have that time.
And that just seems to be the aspect that's so tough to get your head around. The fact is, when a player's injured, or not even injured, to the point where they don't even put him on the IL, and yet he's going to miss 4 or 5 days, it's such a massive chunk of the season that it completely changes your perspective.
Yeah, we talked about that. You've got Jeff McNeil, I know, in a number of teams. The Mets, second base, third base, outfielder.
Multi-positioned, mate.
Multi-positioned. Massively useful. Great player. But yeah, I mean, he's running to the wall. He's going to be out for probably the next 5 games. They're probably not going to put him on the injured list. But yeah, 5 games is 1/12 of the season. And I think you've got a really, really difficult decision ahead of you. He's been playing okay, but not amazingly. But actually, can you afford to have an empty slot just sat there in your team or even on your bench for the next 5 days? And if it goes longer, 6, 7, 8, 9, you're in real trouble. I had the same with Corey Seager myself earlier this season. He was out for 8 games. And yeah, it really didn't help my lineup at all, as you know, in the main auction league we do.
And then the interesting aspect of that is that if they get seriously injured, like a Stanton with his hamstring strain, he's on the IL, so you could just stash him away and not worry about it. But when the injury is obviously not a very serious one and they anticipate be back in a weekish or so, then they are taking up a bench spot. And so it's a whole different ballgame. And as you say, it's a waste of space.
Absolutely. It's really difficult. I mean, I'd actually argue that this season is there's a lot of players going onto the injured list, but actually there are so many people getting hot for a week or two. The waiver wire in most leagues, even down to a 15-team league, is looking pretty good. So I think that's quite appealing. But all these other players just disappearing for 5 or 6 games is really painful.
James, let's get to the waiver wire in a moment. I want to talk to you more about some really obviously recognised players that were drafted high, particularly in snake online drafts or spent a lot of money in auction drafts, but players that just are not producing the value. So the question now is, do you drop, do you keep, or do you try to trade? I'm going to throw a few names out there for you. The most obvious one for me, Pete Alonso. New York Mets, a superstar rookie last season, absolutely cold as cold salmon.
He is. I mean, I think I imagine on your list there are some top stars. I think Alonso is the in-between. He's the top 50 person. He's not somebody you can drop. He's been slipping down the Mets order. He's now down to fifth in the batting order. I would be trying to trade Alonso. I'm trying to see if somebody else wanted to take that risk he'll get hot. But if he spends another week or two cold, then it won't be worth it. So see if you can get someone to buy into his name value is what I would be doing.
Okay, well, being the selfish man I am, I want to talk to a few of the players that I drafted, that I got at the beginning of the season that are cold. Adam Eaton, although last night, Friday night, he had a really good night, actually, a couple of hits. I think he's now had 5 hits in his last three games, so he perhaps is starting to warm up. Robbie Ray, who was great in spring training, has been horrific since the season started and has destroyed my ERA and whip. And perhaps the worst one of the lot, Trey Turner, who I thought, right, I've traded him. That's the stolen bases taken care of. He's not even trying to steal, let alone succeed, and yet let alone hit. What on earth has happened to Trey? Trey is top 10 and he's performing like one of my sort of late round waiver pickups.
He is. I'm not worried about Trey. Well, I'm worried about Trey's speed. The fact that he's only attempted one steal this season, right, and got caught. That seems rather odd. He's too good to. You keep Trey Turner. You suffer and you go with it. The Nationals haven't played quite as many games as everybody else. He has hit 2 home runs. I would be keeping Turner, crossing my fingers and hoping for the best. Adam Eaton, for me, in a 12-team league, would have gone long ago. He's not a bad player. He may be getting better, but the fact is you've kept him for a third of the season. He hasn't been performing well, and the opportunity cost of having a Mike Yastrzemski or some of the guys that we're talking about later who've started hot is enormous, and you've missed out stats. Robbie Ray, we talk about him regularly, I would say, JG. I know you love him. He needs to go. I mean, actually, he could turn it on in the second half, but I think you'll be able to pick him back up again. For now, he needs to go.
Okay, just two other names I'm going to throw out there that are genuine superstars of the game. Bellinger and Yelich, both of whom started horrifically cold. Yelich, clearly, you're not going to be dumping him because he is clearly starting to warm up. But Bellinger still seems very, very docile. What's going on there?
It's still early. I, with players like that, you have to keep them. I've no idea if there's something wrong with Christian Yelich. It is worrying, particularly after he started last year so hot. But the ceiling that both of these guys have is so high that they could do in 2 weeks what most players can do across the entire season. So you keep both. Bellinger, interestingly, did get a couple of home runs last night. Could that be the start of him warming up? I hope so. I've got him in 3 leagues, so I really do, and he's not helping me anywhere. Those guys, you keep them, you know, bench them if you need to, but I'm playing them every day and thinking their class will shine through eventually, and we're only 2 weeks in. If they can, you know, have a hot month, they can carry a team.
Okay, mate. Well, now we need to focus on the pickups. Now we need to focus on the waiver wire, because obviously it's not just players getting injured and there are more injuries given the fact that we've had this truncated season. But obviously there's also the COVID issues, etc. So the first thing I want to ask, other than clearly any Cardinal hitter, who I assume you're going to tell me, given how many games they've got to make up,
he's remarkable. They've got 53 games still to play in the next 58 games. The MLB announced the new schedule yesterday, and that is remarkable. And somebody like the Braves, I think, have only got 39 games left.
That's right. So,
huge advantage. You know, they're going to play an awful lot of doubleheaders. And if it is somebody like, I don't know, Colton Wong, Paul Goldschmidt, you know, those players are going to be playing in an awful lot of their doubleheaders. So, yeah, I would be absolutely looking at those guys if you've got a vacancy in corner infield or middle infield.
You sent me a tweet about the impact this is going to have. Hitters who hit in the top six of lineups play about 89% of games. And in the 17 doubleheaders that obviously the Cards are going to have to endure, so far they've played both games 73% of the time. This is the top six hitters in a lineup. So if you convert that into innings, and for top six hitters, a doubleheader basically is worth 1.5 times a normal game. That says all you need to know about trying to get hold of some half-decent Cardinal hitters who've got a mountain of games still to come.
Absolutely. We've talked a lot about getting players in the top half of the order, and that stat just brings it alive. It's even more important in a time of doubleheaders. Absolutely. And looking at who's moving up the batting order, you know, somebody we've talked about in a previous podcast, Ian Happ. You know, I like him. You know, I think he's primed for a breakout. I did notice he has now started. Last night he was leading off for the Cubs. You know, that's a huge development for somebody who was in ninth place in the lineup doing really well. If Happ is leading off for the Cubs, that is a massive outcome. And there's another guy who we're going to talk about in a minute.
Okay, well, before we get into that, rookie call-ups is a big part of the potential add-ons that you should be looking at that weren't available on the waiver wire simply because they hadn't been called up yet. But there's been some names, some big prospects that have been touted, and finally they seem to have arrived at the show.
They do. So we've already seen my Spencer Howard, who I am a fan of, didn't have a particularly great debut for the Phillies, a starting pitcher there, but I think he'll be strong this season. And the hitters are starting to arrive. So Wednesday night, I think it was, we saw Alec Bohm of the Philadelphia Phillies, third baseman. He started and had several very hard hit balls, and that's a really interesting one. If he starts hot, that is somebody I'd potentially be looking at in 12-teamers. And the other very highly regarded prospect coming up this weekend, starting today in the doubleheader probably, is Dylan Carlson of the St. Louis Cardinals. Yeah. I am a fan. Again, you know, this is a short season. These are young guys, and not everybody is going to arrive like Juan Soto did or how Ronald Acuna did. You know, we have to temper expectations. A couple of these rookies will absolutely go off, and a couple won't. You know, a player we both have, Nate Pearson, in different leagues, you know, has had a distinctly mixed start.
Mixed? I spent a flipping fortune of my waiver budget on him, and he got absolutely caned in his third.
No, me too. So, you know, you can't get them all right, and that's what I would say. If you've got space and you've got free pickups, why not give one of them a roll? Bohm, because I think he's started it, and Carlson, because they've got an awful lot of games. But, you know, one of these rookies is going to do brilliantly. We don't really know which, but, you know, if you've got the space, absolutely give them a roll.
And even if you've missed out on these rookies, there's still plenty of names out there on the waiver wire that genuinely. And I'm, you know, I've finally done something right. I picked up Pedro Severino, the Baltimore catcher, because, as you know, I started the season with Sean Murphy, who I genuinely thought might be half decent this season, and he's been pretty horrific. But Pedro's done me proud. And I noticed last night he's hitting so well that Baltimore, when he's not catching, we've been playing him as a DH, and he's hitting in the middle of the order. So I'm loving that. But there are other names out there. Who do you fancy that hasn't got a particularly high percentage of ownership at the moment in most leagues?
Fine. Well, I thought it'd be useful because, as you say, there have been so many players hitting the injury list. I lost Starlin Castro last night. There are loads. I've got Donaldson on there. I've got Albies out. There are so many people. So what I've done is just literally pulled out somebody at each major kind of position grouping who is owned in less than 20% of ESPN leagues. And I thought that would be useful. So, yeah, at catcher, we have the aforementioned Pedro Severino. He's doing really well, as you say. And now, you know, getting a catcher who is performing well enough to play as the team's DH is amazing. As of yesterday, he was only 19% owned in ESPN leagues. That will increase. He does hit home runs. Baltimore hitting. A corner infield, so a first baseman or third baseman. There's a couple here. There's a guy called Jake Cronenworth who has eligibility at both first base and shortstop. He's San Diego Padres. He's owned in less than 20% leagues. I think he's got some really good underlying stats. And actually, he's likely to end up as the second baseman omen for the Padres going forward. I think he's going to be pretty interesting this season. The Padres are doing a lot better than maybe some people thought. There's a lot of runs in that lineup. He's somebody I'd be looking at. As long as Josh Donaldson is out, the person who's benefiting most in the Minnesota lineup is Marvin Gonzalez. He's playing every day. He's not massively owned. I'm not saying he's phenomenal, but you know the Twins are likely to be the highest scoring lineup in baseball this year, and he's part of that. And the other corner infielder, if you want a real shot in the dark, Travis Shaw. It's looking like when the Blue Jays are at home, as the Buffalo Blue Jays, that park is playing like a bit of a launching pad. Shaw got two home runs the other night. And I would be monitoring him quite hard over the next week. If he's playing third or fourth in that lineup and they're scoring a lot of runs, if he can get anything like back to form where he was a few years ago, that'd be good.
Talking of outfield, which I know you're about to get into, you showed your credentials this week, because I know you're not going to mention this, so I'm going to, but I noticed in our auction league that you've made a few of these sort of waiver wire pickups, and you had one night, I think it was Friday night, where you had, what was it, 8 home runs or something ridiculous, and a significant proportion of your hitting stats came from these waiver wire pickups. Jesse Winker being one, who's, I think he's only about 13% owned in most leagues. Where on earth did that one come from?
He is, well, he's always been great, and we play in quite a few on-base percentage leagues. So yeah, he's always been a strong player. But crucially, he used to only play against he's a lefty, so he'd only play in a platoon. Now he is playing against both left-hand and right-handed pitchers. So he is both an everyday player in a lineup that is hitting runs for fun in a park that's brilliant. So if he can get up the top of the order and he's batting extremely well, so yes, Jesse Winker, absolutely. Absolutely, someday I'll be looking at the outfield. And the other players, if I had to pick a couple of outfielders, Robbie Grossman, bit of a journeyman, but at Oakland, he's already got 4 steals. He's got several home runs. He's now looking like he might be up to second in the order whilst Laureano's doing his suspension. I'm not saying he's going to be somebody you necessarily keep all season, but he's less than 20% owned. He is hot, hot, hot. And the other player, Austin Slater, San Francisco, has been doing really well recently. Again, 5 stolen bases.
Yeah, steals.
He might be injured, but those three, so Grossman, Slater, and particularly Jesse Winker, I would be all over. If I just have 1 minute just on one other thing, we haven't covered middle infielders, and my absolute biggest pickup of the week, if you don't have him, Garrett Hampson, Colorado Rocky. I did have him and dropped him earlier this season. He is now leading off every day for Colorado. As we well know, that is a wonderful place to hit. They've been at home all week. They're actually not at home all next week. But yeah, Hampson is only 27% owned in ESPN leagues, and he is now the leadoff man for the Rockies. Go and get him if you do not have him.
Okay, that's hitting. What about pitching from a waiver wire pickup?
Pitching, I'm going to try to avoid the obvious. I mean, it's so hard pitching this year. And if you can, streaming pitchers really is the way to go. We've seen that certain offenses, we talked about Arizona and we talked about Cleveland a bit, and some of the sort of regular favourites are teams you can stream against. Even Atlanta, I'd argue, at the moment, are going through a terrible stretch, and with Acuna out.
Don't even mention it.
We talked yesterday, didn't we, about streaming Pablo Lopez, and that worked out very well.
Before you continue talking about pitchers to pick up, let's just very quickly talk about that. This is the one aspect of fantasy baseball that I really struggle with, because last night my starter is starting for the Oppo. He's starting for Miami against my team, and therefore I've got this mixed emotion of, well, do I want him to do well? Because he's against my team. I mean, you know, I want him to get the win, but that means my team loses. It's that conflict that fantasy baseball creates. You should never be rooting against your own team, but I find I am.
It's horrible. It's absolutely horrible. Yeah, you kind of want Pablo Lopez to have some mad start of 12 Ks in 5 innings and give up no runs, and then the Braves to come through against the Miami bullpen and win 12-10 in the end or something.
Yeah, so, yeah. Not get the win, but I'll take the rest of the ratio.
Exactly.
Okay, so sorry, I interrupted. What about your
not pitching? Not at all. Okay, so if you've got to have some pitchers, you're not just looking at picking up people who've got a really good matchup this week, a couple of Players who I imagine are almost certainly available in your league. Brandon Bielak of Houston. Obviously, the Astros win a lot of games. Bielak is a young guy. I'm not saying he's particularly amazing, but you know they are going to have some easy games. He is likely to get some wins. And if you want a contrasting one, an old dog, Kevin Gausman of the San Francisco Giants. His underlying peripherals this year look really, really strong. San Francisco is not a bad place to pitch at home, and his next two matchups look perfectly winnable. So I will be looking quite hard at those. I'm not saying, you know, you've lost DeGrom potentially.
Hang on. I'm going to have to rewind you. San Francisco's not a bad. It's bloody marvellous. That's a proper pitching park, isn't it? That's what everybody's told me for 15 blinking years.
No, it is. But I equally, you know, Gausman does have the, you know, he's shown in the past the potential to get blown up from time to time. But
he's an old dog. It happens to us.
I've picked
all of us.
Fine. So those are your starters. Right, I'll give you two more before we close. I've got two fantastic potential relief pitchers. So first of all, Jordan Romano of Toronto. He is a former starter, now moved into a relief role. He is just on a phenomenal roll. I haven't actually seen whether he pitched last night. I'm hoping not. But certainly before last night, he hasn't given up a run all season. Has like a whip of 0.4. He's now already up to the setup man. Anthony Bass, who had taken over from Ken Giles, blew a save in quite spectacular fashion earlier this week. I think there is a pretty good chance that Jordan Romano will be the Toronto closer within the near future. And even if he's not, the rest of his stats are strong enough that he can be part of your staff, even in a 12-teamer.
That's your RP. Is that your Hail Mary? Because we have to finish on Hail Mary. That's becoming the most popular part of this, because that's where you totally put your head on the block and you've had some success. I rewind and remind all our listeners, Trevor Rosenthal, you said it. Now the Royals closer and 35% owned across the leagues. We need some more Hail Marys. Is Jordan your Hail Mary?
I can't believe Jordan's not good enough. But he's 5% owned. But if you want an even harder one, if you go to Houston, I think they're in need of a new closer. I've got two possibles. So there's a guy called Blake Taylor. He's a lefty. So I'm going to give my absolute Hail Mary to a guy called Andre Scrub. Again, owned by a massive 0.5% of people. I don't think it's impossible that Andre Scrub will become the Houston closer by the end of the season if, you know, Presley doesn't seem to be getting the job done. So we shall see. But Jordan Romano would be where I put my money. But I'm not sure 5% counts as a Hail Mary. So if it's got to be less than 1%, Andre Scrub, Houston closer before the end of the season.
And if just purely on the basis of the name, Scrub, that is my type of baseball player.
I knew you'd like him, Johnny. I knew you'd like him.
I've never even heard of him, Jimbo. I'm going to have to go and look him up. And I'm loving that. 0.5% ownership. That's a true Hail Mary. What we'll have to do is at the end of the season, we'll have to rewind and perhaps listen to all the Hail Marys you came up and see how they've all done.
And at least one will have come off. I'm happy with
it. Trevor's already come off. He's the closer.
You're too polite not to mention all the others, but yes.
But that is awesome. What an absolute suitcase full of names and opportunities. You had a great night last night in the Auction League. Monster stats. I think you had more hitting stats last night than pretty much my team for the whole season. And that's proof of the pudding that you don't have to have the superstars to put together the numbers.
No. And this season more than ever. You're absolutely right, Johnny.
A quick look at the league table as it stands. We're obviously having this conversation on Saturday morning. Very interesting to see that the run differential, which is not something I've ever really focused on before, Jimbo. You mentioned that Minnesota will probably end up with the best hitting stats by the end of this truncated season. And their run differential at the moment is plus 33, which is certainly the best in the American League. But I'm looking further down, the Dodgers plus 54, mate. Plus 54. They've scored already this season 114 runs, and obviously got good defense and good pitching going as well. And who would have thought it? Dodger Stadium. That's a pitcher's park. How have they got 114 runs?
Because they've got great players.
They certainly have. And Atlanta, as you mentioned, losing four straight and now almost just batting above fifth, 500, 11 and 10.
I'm a bit worried. I'm very worried about the Braves, I have to say. You know, we've lost Soroka, our ace. We've only got three pitchers at the moment, starting pitchers. We've lost Albies. Acuna's been out for, he's going to be out for the weekend. I think Atlanta, in a bit of trouble. But with 16 teams still squeaking into the playoffs.
You know what, buddy? The only thing that's in our favour?
No, what?
The rest of the league is rubbish as well, apart from Miami. But then they've only played 13 games. So, you know, they've been playing off inspiration caused by their COVID shutdown. If that starts to temper away, then, I mean, to be honest, it's anybody's league, isn't it, the National League East?
It is, absolutely.
Anyway, we're getting into a personal conversation, not fantasy baseball. But you've been an absolute legend taking time out from your holiday. Cannot thank you enough.
Pleasure. As always, great to chat. And, good luck for the week ahead.
Look forward to it. Cheers, buddy. Well, that's it from the Fantasy Add-On on the Johnny and Josh Show with James Holden. Thanks for listening in, guys. We look forward to having your company next week. Same time, same place for some more Fantasy Gems.